Funding for Think comes from SMU Master and Doctor of Liberal Studies programs.
Life in Texas will never be quite the same.
The Supreme Court recognized that the Constitution guarantees marriage equality. In doing so, they've reaffirmed that all Americans are entitled to the equal protection of the law, that all people should be treated equally, regardless of who they are or who they love.
I agree that the Supreme Court follows the opinions of Manhattan and Washington, D.C., but it doesn't follow the opinions of America. If the values had changed so much, there would be no need for the court to act because people would have acted democratically to change their marriage laws. That hadn't happened, which is why the court stepped in and thrown out the laws that the people did adopt.
I think it was about time. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't allow everybody the ability to marry. So I think it was a long time coming.
I don't agree at all. And I'm upset that it's happening, but there's nothing we can do about it. So
I think that's fantastic. I think it's a really big step forward for Texas as far as liberal movement and democracy, and it's great to hear.
I don't agree with it, but I guess everybody's free to do what they want.
That was President Obama, Senator Ted Cruz, and North Texas residents Daniel Merity, Luis Rosales, Aaron Rock, and Yolanda Sierra reacting to Friday's Supreme Court ruling making same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. The case in question, Obergefell v. Hodges, originated in Ohio, but had lasting repercussions for all 50 states, especially Texas and the 12 others that until Friday did not recognize same-sex marriage. On that day, same-sex couples around the state began applying for marriage licenses and taking vows in their home counties. Others, hoping for the ruling they received Friday, have actually been planning weddings since the Supreme Court announced it would take up the question this session. You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Today we talk with a couple from Plano whose lawsuit challenging the one-time ban on same-sex marriage in Texas is at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Their names are Mark Ferris and Victor Holmes, and they join us now from the studios of KUT in Austin. Welcome both of you to Think.
Hi. How are you, Chris?
Very well, thanks. Were you together when the ruling came down Friday?
Yes, we were. We were at a deli in Love Field, right outside of security, watching SCOTUS blog, waiting to see what the Supreme Court would do. And the minute they announced their decision, we hugged, cried, walked through security crying, and walked down the terminal crying, got on the plane crying, and came to Austin.
And then we cried some more.
I would imagine not everybody in Love Field at the deli and through security knew about the ruling right away. Were there people, did you have a chance to talk to other people as you made your way through the airport?
Not really. I think everyone, to the extent anyone looked at us, I think they thought maybe someone had died in our family and they were giving us room.
Many analysts had predicted, of course, that the ruling would come down as it did. How much had you been following the clues about what would happen? A lot of people noted Justice Scalia's statements recently grumbling about the ever-expanding list of fundamental rights guaranteed U.S. citizens.
Oh, very closely, yeah.
Yeah. So did you still have to prepare yourself for the possibility that the ruling might not come as you'd hoped it did?
Well, there are a variety of possibilities, and not coming out in our favor was certainly one of them, but it wasn't the most likely. We really, after going to the Supreme Court, listening to the justices, after hearing the arguments, we were really a lot more confident that it would be ruling in our favor than less.
Yeah, we really had no doubt what the outcome would be, to be honest. If you read the Windsor decision from 2 years ago, which came out on the same day, 2 years for the decision on Friday, it pretty well laid out the grounds for overturning state bans. It was inconceivable that the Supreme Court would find it unconstitutional for the federal government to discriminate against same-sex marriages, but would somehow or another turn around and allow states to. So, and that's exactly why over 60 district court and court of appeals found after Windsor that the bans were unconstitutional. And then when the Supreme Court last October lifted the stays, I think that pretty well indicated where the Supreme Court was going. The only court that didn't get the hint was the Sixth Circuit, Court of Appeals, and they now have the hint.
We should be clear that the lawsuit you were party to was not the one the Supreme Court ruled on Friday. What happens to your lawsuit that's before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in light of the SCOTUS ruling?
Well, there was an injunction issued by the district court in February of 2014 against the state continuing its ban on same-sex marriages. That ban was stayed by the district court pending a Fifth Circuit decision. Once the Supreme Court ruled, we filed a motion last Friday to lift that stay. The stay was lifted by the district court. So the injunction is now in effect, and Texas could not, if it wanted to, enforce that ban.
You have been described, both of you, in multiple places as having been initially reluctant to join this fight, at least in a public way. Can you talk about what your concerns were before you agreed to be a party to what today is known as De Leon v. Perry?
We had initially had security concerns for our home, for our dogs, for our workplaces. As has been said before, I teach out of the university, and I was concerned the students might get caught up in something. The workplaces themselves, how they would react, our neighborhood. We have three wonderful beagles, so we didn't want anything to happen to them. So most of it really revolved around security. And I think initially when we signed on to it, we signed on with the idea, for right or for wrong, that we would be with the lawsuit but not forward. We would be named in it, but it would all be handled kind of behind the scenes, mostly by the legal staff. But as soon as it broke, it became clear that this was really about the people, and that the people that are involved, not just us, but all the other gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual couples, all the LGBT community would like to see themselves represented. They wanted to see the faces behind this lawsuit, and that's why we actually did become more involved.
And, you know, we had additional concerns, including concerns about our employment. As you know, right, in the state of Texas, there's no protection for LGBT Americans not to be discriminated in the workplace or in public accommodations. Just an example, as a result of this lawsuit, we have a lake house in Gun Barrel City, Texas, and went to lunch, or rather breakfast, there, and USA Today reported that we eat at the Huddle House in Gun Barrel City. And as a result of that, the Huddle House received calls, numerous calls, suggesting that they should not serve people like Vic and me. Now, the Huddle House could have, if it wanted, could have declined a service in the future. It did not. They have been great. But the law in Texas would not have precluded them from denying us service.
And
I'm glad they didn't, because their hash browns are awesome.
And wouldn't, to this day, there are still no anti-discrimination laws based on sexual orientation or sexual identity in Texas.
Right.
That's correct. In Texas. Mm-hmm. The state. There are some localities. Plano, for example, last year adopted one. But generally, it's a patchwork.
So there are issues of pragmatism when you have to think about your personal safety. And then there, I would imagine it's emotional as well. When you stop to think about it, did it make you angry that you had to consider your safety and the well-being of, you know, your pets and colleagues and people that you've done business with in choosing to exercise your right to enter into this lawsuit?
I don't know if angry would be the right adjective, but yeah, it was very, very disturbing, certainly, that we needed to think about those things. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we went through those many, many, many times. We went through and discussed what we were going to do, how we were going to improve security, for example, what we would do in certain circumstances. And ultimately, the final deciding factor really came down to this needed to be done. And it needed to be done by someone. We had the with the law firm, we had the ability to do what we did, and that's why we went with it.
Why was 2015 the year that this became possible?
Because there were two circuits that didn't rule. Well, one that ruled.
I understand that, but culturally, can you talk a little bit about why you think the shift in not just public opinion, but in legal opinion has happened at this moment in history?
Yeah, I think part of that has to do with once upon a time, it was illegal to be gay. It was illegal to be a lesbian. And that was because people didn't know who gays and lesbians were. They didn't know who the people were. They were just a title. They were just something that you put on paper and, yeah, we don't really know who these people are, but we certainly don't want that. But then over time, especially with the enactment of the restrictions against the LGBT community, once these restrictions occurred, when people looked and saw, hey, that's my friend, that's my doctor, that's my teacher, that's whatever, when they looked and saw, hey, that is someone that I know, and that person is not this demonic individual they're making them out to be. That person is not some horrible, hideous being that we shouldn't have. They're good people. They are good people, and this is wrong. And I think that that's what's happened is over time, probably because of those restrictions, the general population has gotten to know that the LGBT community, we're really just a part of them, and we're just like them.
Yeah, I think having LGBT Americans come out of the closet and introduce themselves to friends and family and relatives and coworkers, and the end result was everyone became educated about who we were, and to Vic's point, realized that we were real people. And I think through that process of one-on-one discussions, not just what Vic and I have had, but one-on-one discussions that everyone across America has had with all of their friends and family, I think that's what's generally and genuinely made the difference.
Tell us about the actions that you had to take in order to create a case that could rise to the higher courts.
Well, Vic and I went to San Antonio in September to apply for a marriage license, and we were denied. So that was the basis on which we had standing to pursue a lawsuit against the state of Texas. Nicole and Cleo, our co-plaintiffs, our wonderful co-plaintiffs, were married in Massachusetts in 2008, and the state refused to recognize their marriage. So that was the basis that gave us the ability for the four of us, with obviously the help of our wonderful law firm, Akin Gump, to file a lawsuit.
So you knew in San Antonio that you would be denied a license, but I wonder if it was still a weirdly emotional experience to have someone say, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
And she was really nice. Honey, this is Texas. We don't do that here. She was really sweet, but it was still, it was both expected and it hurt.
So do you think the Supreme Court's decision will ultimately have an effect on the tide of public opinion?
Well, the tide of a public opinion nationally is already, it's already flipped basically in the last decade from two-thirds opposing same-sex marriage to now two-thirds supporting. Even in Texas, I've seen various polls showing that there is plurality of support for same-sex marriages. And the Supreme Court decision will absolutely cement that and further accelerate it. There is no doubt that once everyone in Texas sees the amount of joy and the amount of celebration that their friends and coworkers and family are experiencing, that will further accelerate the process of acceptance of same-sex marriage. And I have no doubt that Texas very quickly will support.
We're speaking this hour with Victor Holmes and Mark Ferris, a Plano couple whose lawsuit challenging the one-time ban on same-sex marriage in Texas is at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're talking, of course, about Friday's Supreme Court ruling giving same-sex couples the right to marry in every U.S. state. We'll be back to our conversation in 2 minutes.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest idea of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were.
As some of the petitioners in these cases demonstrate, marriage embodies a love that may endure even past death.
It would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the ideal of marriage.
Their plea is that they do respect it so deeply that they seek to find its fulfillment for themselves.
Their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right.
That is a variety of voices reading from the text of Justice Anthony Kennedy's opinion for the majority in Obergefell v. Hodges. We're speaking this hour with a Plano couple who took part in a lawsuit challenging the Texas ban on same-sex marriage. The Supreme Court, of course, ruled Friday that same-sex couples have in the United States the same right to marry as heterosexual couples in every U.S. state. My guests are Mark Ferris and Victor Holmes. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, you can call in to 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. How long have you guys been together?
In August, it will be 18 years.
Wow.
And we haven't had a fight yet.
That's extraordinary.
Well, you know, it's 18 years.
19 years might get rocky, right?
Right.
Having built a life together for years, bonded by love and shared experience, setting the legal rights and guarantees aside for a moment of marriage, and we will talk about those, do you think that being legally wed will have any effect on your relationship?
I will still love Mark just as much as I do now. There's nothing will change that. Mark will still love me as much as he does now. The only thing I can see is that we'd love each other more. But what I would say is, what changes when two people get married? Did they not love each other before and now suddenly they do? That's not what changes. It's about the commitment. And it's not just the commitment to each other. It's that they're demonstrating that commitment to the community, to the people who love them, to their works, to their homes, to the people that live in their neighborhoods. It's a demonstration publicly of that commitment to each other. That's what really marriage is about. And, you know, I've heard it said that this whole movement is about redefining marriage. And I don't think that's true. I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because that's what a marriage has always been about. It's always been about people who love each other. You have two people, regardless of gender, but you have two people who love each other so much that they want to not only demonstrate that to the community, to themselves, to their loved ones, but they want to enter into an institution that is intentionally difficult to break, that it's intentionally difficult to step out of, because they love each other so much that they want to demonstrate that commitment.
Right. And when you listen to Vic and hear him talk, I think you can see why, one, I love him, and two, why we've never had a fight.
So it's true that you've really never had a fight. That's extraordinary.
That's true. Yeah,
no, that
that's
is true.
Wow.
We don't have anything to fight about. Really.
Yeah. Well, we commuted for 13 years, and in the process of that commuting while I was in the military, we only had the weekend. Sometimes we'd have one weekend every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, and that's the only time that we would have together. So it became clear very early on that there's really nothing that's so pressing that it would take up all of our time with fighting. We had very limited time to spend together. We wanted to spend every moment of it just loving each other.
Right. And really now, you know, I've lost both my parents when I was 26 years old. I lost a brother, an older brother, when I was 14 years old. I've lost all kinds of aunts and uncles. And you know, I went from something like 26 aunts down to and uncles to down to one. The end result is we try to take life. We try not to take life for granted. And we do not want to spend our relationship fighting at all.
When you first fell in love, did you even dream of the possibility that marriage would be something that would be available to you?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I remember I remember specifically not. I think very early in my life when I discovered that I was gay, I think it was like a trade. You're gay, so you have to give up this thing. And I really, that was the thing that hurt the most about being gay, was that I would not get to have that kind of bond and relationship that I saw in my parents. My mom and dad are amazing. If you see them together, the way that they act with each other, the way they are together, that was the kind of marriage that I had often dreamed of but knew that I would never have.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go on the line now to Bam in Dallas. Hi, Bam.
Hi. I just have a quick question, and congratulations, on the celebration of, unions that are now recognized as marriage in the LGBT community.
Thank you.
My question is, what are the implications or, the benefits to LGBT people, that maybe are single, are not necessarily going to get married? Because it just seems that the civil rights aspect of, this decision was left out at some level.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that's a great question, and there are a whole host of benefits and issues that would be too long to go into exactly here. But for example, one of the benefits as a result of, and we did not pursue a lawsuit for benefits, but one of the benefits that would result from Vic and I being able to be married and have it recognized is that if something happened to him, he would be able to receive my Social Security benefits, and I would be able to receive his treatment as a spouse of a military veteran. So that would be a couple examples of benefits. But what also is not there, and by the way, we're going to pay more federal income taxes as a result of being married. But one of the things that in Texas will not be resolved is that we can get married, which we are, on November 21st, and our employer, once they found out we were married or gay, which obviously they know by now with respect to us, but you could be fired the very next day when your employer finds out you marry someone and that you're gay. There's no protection in the state of Texas for LGBT Americans. So that is something that needs to be fixed and needs to be fixed soon.
And one of the things I think in terms of benefits that being married would now impart that's particularly important to me as a healthcare provider is the ability to help make decisions with your partner, with your spouse now, actually. It's that unobstructed decision-making capacity that spouses share. That I think, is one of the better benefits.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and, Vic and I own a house in Plano and Gun Barrel City. And before, there was risk that those homes that we both share with each other and want to go to each other if something happens to one of us, now we can be assured that that will go to the other person rather than before.
Our will itself can now, we can call each other spouses, where before we couldn't do that for fear that under Texas law, anything that even resembles a gay union was illegal. So in our wills, we could not even refer to each other as the person that we loved without fear of that document being broken.
For your co-plaintiffs in this lawsuit who are already married, they got married in the state of Massachusetts, do all rights automatically transfer to every state across the United States? They don't have to file separately in Texas. They are married just as any other couple would be married in another state and live in Texas. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Among the other issues that are still outstanding that will have to be answered by some other actions in the future is the presumption of shared parentage of any children that come into the lives of a married same-sex couple. I realize this is not an issue that affects you, but can you talk about what might need to be clarified in the law that heterosexual couples who have children can take for granted?
Well, for Nicole and Cleo, they just had a child in March, a wonderful, lovely baby girl. And they we're going to have to hire a lawyer to make sure that on that birth certificate it would reflect that Cleo is also the mother of that child, and that if something happened to Nicole in childbirth and she didn't wind up having a complicated birth and with the need for a C-section, if something had happened to her prior to this decision on Friday, that child would have been an orphan. And now the good news is now, as a result of that decision, the presumption will be, as it is with straight people, that when you have a child born in that marriage, that both are the parents and will be reflected that way on the birth certificate, and that's what will happen here.
There are some religious institutions that have expressed concern that their tax-exempt status could be jeopardized by their refusal to treat same-sex married couples the same way they treat heterosexual couples. Is this accurate?
I don't think so. I think that's an overblown concern. Under the First Amendment, churches are not required to perform weddings for those they do not want to perform weddings for. This is purely our lawsuit, and the lawsuits that were just before the Supreme Court were purely and solely about receiving state recognition of those of those weddings. You know, prior to this lawsuit, if you had someone who is Jewish and non-Jewish who got married in a particular synagogue, some synagogues wouldn't recognize that marriage. That it was before this decision, and that'll continue to be after that decision, and that really is the same kind of issue with us. If a church doesn't want to recognize our marriage, they don't have to. Now, nothing precludes people from who are Catholic. For example, I'm a Methodist. Nothing will preclude me from working, moving forward in the Methodist Church to try to persuade the Methodist Church that they need to recognize same-sex marriages. Nothing precludes a Catholic, for example, from doing the same thing. But there is nothing that the state will obligate a particular church to accept.
They won't be forced to marry anyone they don't want to.
Right. Either perform a ceremony or marry anyone they don't want to.
And that's the way it was before this, too. Right. So that this issue had nothing to do with this lawsuit.
And Kennedy makes that clear in the decision.
Right.
This may seem like a minor thing, but traditionally, you know, women took husbands' names when they married. Plenty of straight couples have set this custom aside, and every couple these days really makes the call for themselves. Do you see different traditions perhaps arising among same-sex couples?
We could pick a completely different name.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been able to persuade Vic to change his name to Ferris. I don't know. Our plan is to keep our names. I know a lot of people have hyphenated their names who have gotten married elsewhere and combined the names. So, you know, I think you're going to see a wide range of choices in that regard.
Yeah, I'm pretty attached to the names that I have, so I'm going to stick with those.
You guys both have good names. It would be hard to trade one for the other.
Thank you.
Attorney General Ken Paxton today says local officials who cite religious beliefs in declining to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples could face a fine. He also makes a point of saying there are plenty of lawyers who would likely be happy to defend such actions. How much concern do you have that states like Texas will try to find sort of constitutionally acceptable ways to throw up roadblocks for same-sex couples who wish to marry?
Mark can probably talk to the way the law is written better than I can, but the way that I read the opinion, it was pretty clear. There wasn't an awful lot of room to move around. So I think that if there are laws or legislation that's introduced counter to the law, it has grounds for challenge. It has grounds to move through. And I think that it would be done purely as a delay tactic or as an expense tactic to try and, I don't know, drain the coffers of the opposition.
Yeah. I fully expect that all the counties in Texas will today or tomorrow start issuing marriage licenses for same-sex couples. And anyone who does not runs the risk of being sued under Section 1983 of the U.S. Code for violating the civil rights of its citizens, which, by the way, I'll note that the Attorney General Paxton did not reference in his opinion. But his opinion gives them a little wiggle room. And if it is true, if a court clerk themselves doesn't want to issue, they can delegate that to someone else who will do it. And at the end of the day, I don't think anyone cares which person, individual, at the court clerk's office actually issues the marriage license as long as they're issued.
But that's the kick. Somebody has to issue it.
Yeah. 42 years after Roe v. Wade, we are still arguing over what many see as the court's unequivocal ruling on a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy and what that should mean. Do you foresee ongoing arguments over the finer details of this ruling?
There might be arguments about the finer details, but I think what people are also going to see is that they're also going to see that there are a lot, we're talking millions, of loving couples who now are going to be married, who are now going to be happier than they were before because they will have that union. And I think that people will see overall that, hey, it doesn't matter actually because, yeah, they do love each other and it's marriage and it's good.
Yeah. I think a better analogy is the 1967 Loving v. Virginia decision prohibited bans and found unconstitutional bans on interracial marriages. That has been accepted, and there was less support for that in 1967 when the United States Supreme Court unanimously found that to be unconstitutional and violation of interracial couples' fundamental rights. And so, if you look at two-thirds of public opinion support same-sex marriages at this time, it's not going to be an issue.
We're speaking this hour with Mark Ferris and Victor Holmes, the Plano couple whose lawsuit challenging the one-time ban on same-sex marriage in Texas went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Of course, the occasion is Friday's Supreme Court ruling giving same-sex couples the right to marry in every U.S. state. You can join us at 800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, specializing in communications or organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with Victor Holmes and Mark Ferris, a Plano couple who took part in a lawsuit challenging the one-time ban on same-sex marriage in Texas. Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Obergefell v. Hodges that same-sex couples in the United States have the same right to marry as any other couple. And we just had an email from Don who mentioned that tonight the lead plaintiff in that Supreme Court case, Jim Obergefell, and Chad Griffin, who is president of Human Rights Campaign, will be at the Roundup Saloon in Dallas for a celebration of marriage equality. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or you can email think@kera.org. It's sort of a distasteful topic to many people, but with the right to marry comes the right to divorce, which is also an important thing for people who want to be able to exercise their full rights and engage in relationships and also feel protected by the law.
I agree, but we're not planning on getting one.
No. I'm not saying that. But this is something that couples who weren't able to marry in every state had struggled with in the past.
They had. The good news is, they can now marry. And obviously, if something goes wrong with that relationship, as they sometimes do, they can now legally divorce. Vic threatens to divorce me all the time when I sing. So
somehow I think you guys
play the piano. we went to the Chapel of Hope. They had a service when we returned from Austin on Friday, and while we were at the Chapel of Hope,
Cathedral.
It's interesting. I'm sorry, the Cathedral of Hope. My mistake. while we were at the Cathedral of Hope, it was interesting that you mentioned this because someone did come up to me and said, oh, thank God, I'm so glad this is done because now I can finally get a divorce from so-and-so. They apparently had married in another state and the union was not as happy as one would have imagined. And he was stuck because they couldn't get a divorce here in Texas because even the marriage couldn't be recognized. So, yes, you're right. Sometimes things go wrong, and when they do, okay, that's all right. We'll start over again.
Yeah, I think I'm a lawyer, and I think the bar that part of the lawyers who deal with these issues, I suspect they're now happy, and their revenue will go up 5 or 10%.
Yay, family law.
By the way, I heard you talk about the Roundup rally tonight at 6 o'clock. Both Vic and I will be there as well.
Oh, wonderful. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Phil in Cedar Hill. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Interesting show. Will this open up a debate on polygamy and eventually say 40 years down the road that there be a change in that?
I seriously doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot. I mean, all the cases, and there are many of them, that talk about the fundamental right to marry, it's always been about two people. So I really don't envision that. And there is no equal protection clause claim unless a state, for some reason or another, starts allowing polygamous straight marriages. There's no such – then there would be no equal protection claim that you ought to have a polygamous same-sex marriage. So, I mean, that's just – not really conceivable.
You mentioned that you guys will be at the Roundup, the party tonight at the Roundup Saloon. Had you met Jim Obergefell before?
Mm-hmm. Yes, several times.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine all the things that you feel like you share in common, not just in that you want to marry, but the very, I would imagine, sometimes grueling experience of putting yourself out there to be a party to something like this.
All of the plaintiffs pretty much are from across the country. We have a private page on Facebook where we all communicate. And, right. And then the night before the hearing on April 28th, we actually got together for a reception where all of the plaintiffs got to meet each other in person, who we had communicated with via Facebook for the last couple of years. So, I mean, it was wonderful. We had met Jim even before then, but we got to see Jim again then, and we got to meet plaintiffs from Nebraska and Arizona and
Tennessee. Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. And and we had met before the Prop 8 plaintiffs from California, who are just wonderful people, and we got to meet them again. So, I mean, and you're right, we do share a lot of things in common, and we all kind of support each other.
What do you think made Texas a holdout state?
Texas is unique. Its politics are unique. Its people are unique. It's one of the reasons that we call it home. We call it home because there's so many different things here. There's so much diversity, but it all kind of blends together into a whole that's just, actually pretty amazing. But in that amazing whole, there are also people who have a wide variety of opinions. And some of the more outspoken individuals with their opinions are the ones that people hear the most. And I think that when we look at the composition of the Senate, of the leadership, the composition was leaning more towards folks that did not favor equality for everyone. And again, that's not everybody. But when we look at the amount of anti-LGBT legislation that was even introduced in this last term, it was more than good grief, more than could have ever been imagined, but certainly more than historically has been done. And all these things were done by the leadership. But I think that what's been interesting is that, as I said, Texas is a very interesting place in the way that it's composed. It's true the leadership was not for equal rights for everyone, but when you ask the average person, when you ask the average citizen, the average person said, yes, actually, I am for equality for everyone. I do think that everyone should have the right to love the person that they love without someone else telling them whom they should love. So I think that even though this small segment of leadership did not feel that this was important, that everyone should have the right to love who they wanted, the majority of Texans did.
I mean, we are very respectful of those who have different views on this, and they're entitled to have those views and continue to have those views after Friday. The main thing is we don't want to pick – I'm confident they do not want us picking who they marry, and we don't want them picking who we marry.
Do you feel like those individuals that you try to be respectful of who have different ideas about this than you do you feel that they are respectful of you?
That's a very good question. You know, it depends on who the person is and what the rhetoric is. At the end of the day, it is a little tough for us. I mean, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's very difficult for us because at the end of the day, what they're wanting for us is inequality. What they're wanting for us is something that they don't have. I mean, I have cousins that are opposed to us receiving these rights, yet on Saturday posted on Facebook that they were celebrating their 26th wedding anniversary, and I replied and wished them a happy one, all at the same time in the back of my mind thinking, I'm wishing you a happy anniversary that you would like to deny me. So, I mean, it's tough for us.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's speak now with Jeff in Dallas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Just a question about how the new ruling is going to enable same-sex couples to get insurance for each other. For instance, at the beginning of the year, I lost my job and was not able to get on my legal spouse's insurance. We'd married in California, and then I found out that the district that he worked for didn't recognize our marriage or something to that effect. So I'm just wondering how that's going to affect us now.
Well, most companies provide insurance for their employees and their spouses, and you should be covered under those policies now as a result. But I don't want to put myself out as an expert on that particular issue because I'm not. I'm a corporate attorney that deals with boards of directors. So that's not something that I have expertise on. I'd just add a footnote or a qualifier to that.
I want to go back to social media for a minute because you mentioned that you're on there. I was really struck on Friday. It seemed that many, many people made their positions known. A lot of people that I hadn't been aware were behind the cause of same-sex marriage, made that very public on Friday. And I wonder if you were struck by maybe some folks who surprised you.
Well, I absolutely have friends that have privately sent me messages saying they support me, but they don't want to on the more public pages support or because they have friends that will see their posting and who are not supportive and it worries them, and which just goes to show it's really interesting because if they're worried about being discriminated against on the basis that they might be supportive, imagine those of us who are LGBT Americans, what we must face just for being LGBT.
And some of the friends that I've had, for example, actually all the friends that I have are just amazing. I go back to my military days, and when I left the military, one of the things that I was the most heartbroken about was that I felt like I would have to leave the military behind. Because from that point forward, I had made a pledge to myself that I would not be two people. I would live my life the way that I was. And, you know, I'm not flamboyant or anything like that. I just wanted to be me. I wanted to not have to justify two different people or change my pronouns anymore. And so I thought that leaving the military, I would have to leave all of those people behind. But what happened was the exact opposite. They all reached out to me. They reached out to me with support, with love, and I was Well, to say that I was floored is an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of support that we received when our decision was issued in February of 2014, we went to our lake house and all of our neighbors came out in mass. It was
flash mob block party.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And, you know, that's a very conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really reflective of the change that's going on in Texas and reflective of the change that's gone on in America.
So I understand that you all had, decided to marry and had sort of two different plans depending on how the Supreme Court ruled, but ultimately decided to put down a deposit in Texas. Is that right?
Yes.
A lot of deposits.
Yeah, a lot of deposits. We have a videographer, a photographer, a band, a quartet, a facility, a florist. You name it, and we've even obtained the flags. One, the flag that flew over the Capitol on the date the hearing in the Supreme Court case, we received one of those, and we also obtained the flag that flew this past Friday. Mm. And our ring bearer, our 5-year-old great nephew named Kathan, will carry our rings on those two flags when he at our wedding. So we are. Looking forward to it, and we've got plans in the works.
For those of you who are looking for a new career, wedding planning, you're in.
Do you all feel
full-time job.
Greater pressure than any other couple to have, like, the best wedding ever?
No.
I mean, we feel pressure to have a good wedding, but because we want to celebrate. But yeah. We don't have any pressure because of being involved in a lawsuit.
I've been really taken by the fact that, like, tuxedo stores now in the window will have, like, a big billboard, and there's two guys there, or there's two ladies there in gowns. Mm-hmm. It seems like the wedding industry, at least, is more than willing to have a whole new bank of customers.
Yeah, it's worth noting, by the way, that we made these arrangements. We made arrangements for the cake, for the... as you said, the band, the florist, all those things. And when we called these facilities, we would specifically ask them, especially in light of all these things that have been going on with the RFRAs, we asked them if it was okay that this was a wedding between two guys, that this was a same-sex marriage. And every single one of them said, "We're sorry that you have to ask that. It is not a problem, and let me show you what we can do for you." So I think that you're right. I think the wedding industry is geared up. I think that if they weren't planning ahead before, they've missed the boat, because there is an entire segment of the population that was denied this fundamental right that now we're going to take advantage of it.
Well, I hope it's the party of a lifetime next November. Guys, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For being with us. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Mark Ferris and Victor Holmes are from Plano. Their lawsuit challenging the one-time ban on same-sex marriage in Texas went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court, of course, ruled Friday 5-4 in favor of granting same-sex couples the right to marry in every U.S. state. Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is associate producer. Jeff Whittington is executive producer. I'm on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. The show's email is think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.